Rich, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. And I keep counting down the days, checking them off on my calendar for when you folks are going to be showing up for the NHC. Not that far away.
No, it's on top of us, and I'll head next week. I think I go next Wednesday. I go next Wednesday to California, and we'll be there for the Lewis. And then on Tuesday, I'll move over to Vegas, and we'll start from there. We'll be able to spend a nice 6 days, and they got the last chance, first chance contest to look forward to, and then the 3 days of NHC, and so many of your friends and playing partners in contests, Rich, come to town. It's special, and I mean, really, as Pete and I discussed yesterday, it's virtually a convention. It's a different kind of convention. It's all horse players and friends and family, and it's just the greatest atmosphere.
Yeah, the handicappers, the horse players, it's like a fraternity, and I keep thinking of, like, Ralph Cramden, didn't he have, like, the Raccoon Lodge?
The Raccoon Lodge.
this is like horse racing's gigantic Raccoon Lodge all getting together, and we get more than a few Jackie Gleasons in the crowd.
That is very true. Well put. And of course, some of your pals that are qualified that will be playing.
Well, I know Kenny for sure. So, yeah. I haven't talked to him in a little bit. But hopefully, some of the other Jersey "in quote mafia" folks will be showing up. I say that in a friendly term. I know people say, well, what are you, Steve, talking about with the Jersey Mafia with Richie Yang? And say, well, it's just a term,
a nickname.
Of
it's a exactly. It's a nickname for the group that. Led by Rich and Kenny Jordan and Lou Feloso. And who else? Who else is in that team?
I just know some of them by nicknames. I kind of, some of the last names I can't pronounce, so rather than butcher them, I just don't have the nicknames.
That tells you all you need to know. There's quite a few vowels, quite a few names that end with vowels. There you go. All right. Too funny. Rich, tonight, the Eclipse Awards, did we get final thoughts from you going into the eclipses?
I don't think so. I actually haven't been on in a few weeks, but
yeah.
I am an Eclipse Award voter, so I sent my ballot in a long time ago, and I think a lot of the categories, I don't have my ballot in front of me, but a lot of the categories I thought were pretty cut and dried, I think starting from the top of the, I did vote for Bricks and Mortar for Horse of the Year, and for top 3-year-old, I did vote for Maximum Security, but there was a couple categories that I couldn't make heads or tails on, but I did not flip a coin. I just spent extra time looking at the PPs and trying to figure out which one of these horses is better than the rest, and sometimes it's just a tiny edge sometimes.
Well, the story, and we'll certainly talk to Jay Pribman tomorrow morning and do the recap. And Jay, Jay is going with one of the themes. He's really pushing the narrative of the sweep with Chad Brown and Bricks and Mortar and Seth Klarman and Arad Ortiz and the potential for, the ultimate for the John Henry sweep when it comes to breeder and the potential for George Strawbridge to carry the day as well, which would be, one of the rarities. If it does not Cigar, the last horse to, bring along the connections, and then John Henry before him to do all five categories. So as always, it'll be worth watching. And Acacia Courtney, Brittany Erton, and Gabby Gaudette will be hosting the festivities. So we also are looking.
That's a good group of three amigos right there.
Yeah, it was an inspired decision to pull them together and have them handle the hosting. And there'll be some other guests that come in for presentations. I also want to congratulate Scott Coles again, as his period as the reigning NHC champion and handicapper of the year goes along with it. He gets an Eclipse Award tonight as well. So proud of Scott, and he's been a very good. You know, everybody that wins the NHC becomes a great ambassador for horse players. Throughout North America. So,
we're still trying to see if we can get a repeat winner. It shows how difficult it is that no one's been able to win it twice. It's really, really hard to do, folks.
And it's funny, we discussed that and came up yesterday with Pete as well, because Michael Bacik, time was getting, kind of a dear, and Bacik pulls the rabbit out of the hat over the weekend, and he gets, the passport stamped. So one of several that'll be back to try to become a two-time winner.
Yeah, and Michael's a really good ambassador for horse racing. If people don't follow him on social media, they should, because he's got a pretty good viewpoint and a pretty good sense of humor. And he's one of those guys I wouldn't rule out for winning a second one, because sometimes you just get hot at the right day, the right moments. You got to win a few head bobs, and you have to have if a DQ comes up, it's got to go your way.
Exactly.
There's a lot of luck involved with the skill. You got to have the skill first, but you need luck to push you over the finish line.
There's no doubt. And we've, with all the conversations, over the years that we've had, and I, for a long time, you have been included as one of the, contest experienced types that can speak to the approach. And they, there's that old expression that you hear, they have to run for you. And it has to be your day. And it's one of those funny aspects of contest play. You'll see some of the best known players, take the collar, on day one and be mired all, from the start of the contest, and just nothing goes right. Or you get a couple of seconds and, that could have gone your way, or, things happen. And this is one of the elements, not just of contest play, but of day-to-day play. When things go against you early, you can't let it throw your thinking, and you can't let it influence how you go forward. And some days they're just, you're just not going to catch a wave, essentially.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. One thing about betting on horses as well as playing in these tournaments, Steve, like you just outlined, is if you have a couple of things go against you, it'll test your will. It'll test your character, because it's like the racing gods are always probing you to find your weakest links, your weakest points in your body or your mind. And if you're not careful, you can get away from you pretty quickly. So you got to be very, very strong in all phases to win at this aspect.
Without a doubt. Rich, some Pegasus thoughts heading into Saturday?
Yeah, I guess the news on Spun to Run just came out the other, was it yesterday? That I guess he's not in. I think the whole story, I wrote a column about this for America's Best Racing, but I think the race centers around the number five horse, Omaha Beach. This horse is getting better and better, but unfortunately the end of the line is also getting closer and closer, where this will be the final race of his career. I really do think that the race goes to him, even though he's shipping in from California. This will be his first time running at Gulfstream Park, but this horse has enormous potential. He's got enormous ability, and it's just a shame that we're not going to see him run the entire season, but the race clearly goes to him.
Are you doing a Gulfstream card at Brisnet?
No, I'm not doing one at Brisnet, but I will be doing what I call a Saturday stakes sheet, where I'll be outlining the top stakes races on the Gulfstream Park card. So that'll be available along with my Santa Anita handicap.
Very good. Well, and of course, racedaylasvegas.com for that. And Rich, some overall some overall thoughts. One story I didn't get to today, Santa Anita announcing yesterday that they're going to scuttle that February 13th potential card that had been been part of the schedule, trying to protect the horse population and get out in front of it. Hoping for the best, but a difficult weekend. Last weekend that has got the vultures and all those that are seemingly rooting against them and the industry. They're all stirred up. They're all excited. They've got a chance to, smell blood in the water.
Yeah, I actually wrote about this this subject two columns back for America's Best Racing. But people better not be trying to kick Santa Anita in Southern California racing while it's down, because it actually represents the entire industry. I mean, what happens at Santa Anita should be important to everybody from coast to coast. The industry needs Santa Anita to be successful and have a successful meet. I know the horse inventory is an issue. I'm not exactly sure what eventually can turn it around, because there's no immediate purse supplement option like some other states with casino gambling. And, going back to when the California Horse Racing Board meted out the race dates for 2020, you kind of tell through the application from Santa Anita that there was going to be a lot of three-day weeks of racing and not four. So, the February 13th was a surprise, but not a surprise, because I think that the way the inventory is, if they can somehow get 3 days times like nine races a day, that's 27 races. That does help them a little bit. But Steve, it's going to be something. I know sports gambling is something out there that they might be trying to put their hook on, but that's probably a few years down the pipeline if it does come to reality. So. They've got to make do with whatever revenue sources they have now to supplement that purse income.
Well, and Rich, as we wrap up, let me also get some early thoughts. We'll get a final thought from you next Thursday. But, speaking of sports betting, you certainly, we always get to you on some of the big topics. And what's your early read on the market and the movement on Super Bowl lines? And feels like the over-under has gravitated up. And I know Johnny mentioned on Monday it opened as a pick'em and has quickly then turned toward the Chiefs. What's your read?
My lean right now is definitely toward Kansas City. Their offense has proven to be almost unstoppable. A lot has to do with, obviously, their quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. And they have team speed like nobody else does in the National Football League with the receivers and the running backs. The defense is a question mark for Kansas City. I think the 49ers are probably going to try to run the ball and run the ball and run the ball some more at that defense. So I probably would like, if I had to make a $5 bet now, I probably would take Kansas City minus the one, but go toward the over, which is right now 54.5. That's another thing, Steve, too. The over-under started at around 51, 51.5. I really think it's going to top out somewhere around 56 or 56.5, which might cause some buyback on the under if he can get the 56.5, say.
Well, it's funny because Johnny and I discussed that Monday, and it was less than 24 hours in, and the number I came up with was 57. I thought 28-28. You start right around there, and mm-hmm. play with it. And Johnny said, "Well, you're gonna bet the over because it had opened at 51.5 or 52, and then has continued to gravitate." I know people then think, "Oh well, if it's so obvious, then take the under." But I don't know. It feels like, and I saw where you had commented about, about how Seattle had, been tough for the Niners, and that, if you match Mahomes up against Russell Wilson, how's that a negative for Kansas City? I feel the same way. It feels like it'll be a bit of a track meet.
Yeah, the two quarterbacks who have given that really good 49ers defense a lot of trouble was Russell Wilson, and believe it or not, Kyler Murray with Arizona. He had two really good games against San Francisco, and the thing they had in common was they are mobile quarterbacks. You could throw on the run and throw from outside the pocket. So you know, Patrick Mahomes would be a similar skill set.
Absolutely.
Because that pass rush of the 49ers is tough, but if they don't capture the quarterback and keep him in the pocket, then all havoc can break loose.
Well, we'll get some props and some final thoughts from Rich next week, and we'll be that much closer. We'll be on our way. Actually, I'll talk to you from Santa Anita next Thursday. Rich, Rich Eng for Pro Pick on Twitter, of course, at ABR, and RaceDayLasVegas.com for Rich's SoCal analysis and more. Rich, talk next week.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Have a good travel. Talk to you later.
I appreciate it. Rich Eng, everybody. Steve Haskin, Tony Black, and Dick Powell. 3 hours zip by. We scratched today, as I don't know if I mentioned that yesterday. Carlisle Bell waiting for a short turnback opportunity, so not involved, but we'll talk to you tomorrow, weekend preview.